you. Yeah, you. The one hearing us right now. Welcome to Cryptic Soup. I'm Thina.
And I'm Kylie. We wanted to say hey and tell you about our podcast. It's a podcast we both host where we talk crimes, cryptids, murders, and a lot of wild stuff in between.
You can find Mothman, Jeffrey Dahmer, SeaWorld, Spectrophilia, Casey Anthony, or even Skinwalker Ranch to be just a few of the crazy topics we cover.
We even do some fun urban legends to make you feel like a kid at the campfire again.
We're just two best friends hanging out, diving into all the things that your coworkers think you're a weirdo for wanting to talk about. We have a new episode every Tuesday at 3 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we're always open for case suggestions.
Our Instagram is @CrypticSoupPod, where our DMs are always open, so slide on in. We always want to hear your opinions about any cases and episodes we cover.
You can find our episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcast, and most podcasting platforms. At Cryptic Soup Pod, the menu is always overflowing with crazy topics you'll want to hear about. So join the conversation today and come hang out with us.
Stay tuned.
Everybody, this is Kendra.
And this is April.
And you are listening to Nocturnal Distractions.
Yeah. Only it's daytime.
Yeah, and so get this. We're recording at Kendra's parents' house, and it's so fucking cozy in here. You know, like...
Oh, like my... Oh, what are you saying?
I mean, your house is cozy, but it's one of those, like... You know when you go to your grandma's house, and everything's just, like...
Do you call my parents old?
Well, they are grandparents.
That's true.
Right, where everything is just perfect. We got a spinning wheel over here, and we got the grand piano. Well, it's not a grand piano, no, but it's a piano.
Yeah.
And, like, it's quiet and peaceful. I'm in zen, and I just want to take a nap. You know, but when you go to your grandma's house, you just want to take a nap after Thanksgiving?
You can't take a nap.
Oh, so it's so cozy, so I might doze off or something.
Please don't.
Please don't.
The other reason is because it's actually 4:30 in the afternoon as opposed to, like, midnight when we usually record.
That is true.
But we're also 2 days behind schedule.
And we have this dog over here that's just like, hey,
that's like going to chilling. Sleep.
Yeah.
Aren't you so?
Yeah. So it's going to be a cozy, it's going to be a calm, cool, and collective cast today.
That's true. Because I'm not talking about anything murder. Anyway, but first, the trailer you heard at the beginning of our episode was Cryptic Soup. And that was Thina and, oh my God. I totally just drew a blank right now.
You did.
I did.
You've been talking about this all day.
I have. Oh, crap.
It's because you talked about it too much.
Probably.
We'll remember halfway
through. It'll come to me halfway through, and then I'll redo it. So anyway, that's Cryptic Soup. they're hilarious, so you guys need to go listen to them. Like, it's I don't even know how to describe them because they're so funny. Because Thina's usually the one telling the case because... I can't think of her name. This just sounds really funny, but her co-host is like April, doesn't know much about true crime. And so it's like telling somebody brand new, like, these stories.
Nice.
And she has a hard time sometimes pronouncing some of the words. And so it's like, that's when they switch roles. Cause you know how I have to help you sometimes, or she has to help Thina sometimes. So
I'm not alone.
They've got this really great balance going on, and they're really funny. And I've been binging on them for like the last week or so.
Nice. And so, I will be listening to them tonight.
Yes.
So when I do my podcast, I could, you know, I finally listened to a Crime Scene and Cupcakes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely love it. You're a fucking sweetheart. she said, this is what I thought was going to happen. I was going to start critiquing myself. Like, oh shit, I got the noisy jewelry today. Like, she sets the scene so perfectly. You do it brilliantly, by the way. And it was a pleasure listening to that. So.
Yeah. And I told her, like, I keep telling her to listen to podcasts, right?
I do.
And I'm like, don't listen to them and start critiquing yourself. Cause there's some out there that are better. Some that are, you know, whatever, just, but it gives you an idea of how to do things.
It's hard, but, you know, so, but I'm picking up a few pointers listening to podcasts and stuff. So it's nice. I don't know, but I just wanted to give her a shout out.
Yeah,
You're amazing. Thank you.
Of course.
And we get cupcakes soon.
Our cupcake later.
I'm excited for cupcakes.
Cupcakes. Yeah. So anyway, I'm not talking about anything really dark today because here's the thing. Here's why we're late. First of all, with this week's episode, because I could not figure out what the heck to talk about.
I know. I noticed.
Yeah. And it's not that, like, there wasn't stuff out there. Like, I kept, like, finding, and then, like, I'd get, and I'm like, Like, I thought that this month of doing, like, spooky stuff would be easy, right?
Right.
I was really wrong.
Right?
I was so wrong.
I think it's...
I feel like I'm wrong. I was wrong.
You know, I think the thing is because we put a, like, a theme to it, and our brains say we can't go outside, which makes it harder, because when somebody tells me I can't do something,
it's not even necessarily that. It's because I found out as I was researching paranormal stuff, I'm not good at researching paranormal stuff unless I know that it's been researched by an actual paranormal expert.
Right.
Like, if it's just, like, a personal story of somebody on, like, Reddit or somewhere, like, I don't feel right, like, not having evidence.
Because you don't know where to go with it. You're just like,
yeah, that's just it. It's like, now if I found one, like, I did that poltergeist, that's different because that's, like, witnesses, recorded evidence, like, that type of a thing.
Right. You just don't want to go off at the whim of somebody saying something.
Yeah. Yeah. And I thought that I'd be able to. And I realized that I'm very rooted in fact and evidence. It's not that I don't believe in that stuff, because I do, but I have evidence, more than one witness, something. And so that's been difficult. So then I was trying to find, like, murders that happened on Halloween. But then when I looked at those cases, I realized, well, everybody that I've listened to, like, people have already covered all these. I don't want to do another one.
Right.
You know, because it's just been all out there. And so, like, that's why I've been bouncing around and not being able to find anything to land on.
So what'd you come up with?
What I came up with is deciding, okay, Halloween. Nobody has talked about the origin of Halloween.
Huh.
You know, like, how did this start? And where did it start? And how did it turn into what it is today? How did it go from one thing into, like, trick-or-treating?
Nice. I always wondered about that myself.
So.
Because it wasn't meant as a trick-or-treating thing.
No.
If I'm... Correct.
Well, no. It went through, like, a whole bunch of different phases before it even got to that point.
Oh, shit. So pretty is much. This going to be a two-parter or a three-parter?
No. It's going to be a one-parter.
One-parter?
Okay. Oh, yeah. Like, I'm not going to make a whole history lesson.
Okay.
Because I don't like history. Well, no, I like history.
I love history.
I take that back. But anyway, like, it's just one of those things where it's like, I don't think anybody's covered the actual origin of Halloween. And I guess I myself didn't. I mean, I kind of had an idea because I was guessing, and I was right, that it's based on pagan.
Right.
Rituals, which most things that we celebrate are, uh-huh. in a certain way or another.
And pagan is not a negative thing, people.
No, not at all. And I am not dissing or putting down any sort of religion that I will be talking about today. So if you feel like you're going to get triggered or upset by different spiritual religious talk, then
maybe.
Skip to the next one.
Right.
Because, I mean, that's just this history.
Right.
And some of it is going to sound like it's negative towards certain religions, and I'm not meaning it to be that way. That's just what the history says. Like,
that's
this is just
literally
this is from the History Channel website and from National Geographic. Like, it's not pulled off Wikipedia or anything. Like, this is fact.
Right.
It's just how it is. And if you look up Christmas, you'll find the same thing.
Right. And if it offends you, then maybe you need to be taking a deeper look at yourself and your truth. Just throwing that out there.
Or if you're offended, you probably shouldn't be listening to us at all, actually.
Just throwing that one out there too. Not trying to be rude. Wow, we sound kind of like, fuck you, man.
What?
But that's not what it is.
That's not what it is. But really, honestly, if they're listening to us, like, they probably won't be that offended. We would have offended them a long time ago.
Right? And we don't ever say anything that's super offensive, I don't
think. No, not unless it needs to be offensive. Like,
right. And we haven't gotten into any of my passions yet.
Oh, God. What passions would that be?
Who the like, fuck knows when it related to this right here?
You've gone conspiracy a bunch of times.
Oh, yeah. When I get in it to win it with something, like, I'm offending everybody for whatever fucking reason.
And that is why if you are a patron, you know this.
Oh, fuck that shit. Oh, I can't believe
just
you did that.
Just saying.
I can pinch you.
Well, we've only got two patrons right now. Not that many people have heard it. One of them's Amber.
Okay. Okay, dude. All right. So the origin,
so the ancient origins of Halloween. So first, about 2,000 years ago, this is when this is starting, in the area that is now Ireland, the United Kingdom, and northern France, the Celts, who were believed to have been a collection of tribes which originated in Central Europe, and they're actually separate tribes, but they had similar culture, traditions, religious beliefs, and language in common. So the word Celts is actually a modern name that encompasses all these tribes, but they never actually called themselves Celts.
Now, 200 years ago? Did you
2000.
Say? 2000. So was this like when Vikings were around type shit?
I'm not sure.
Or did they come a little? Okay.
I mean, it's kind of like the same stuff as some of the Vikings would have celebrated. Yes.
Okay.
But like I said, Salts is technically a modern term. They never actually called themselves that. They would just use the name of their own tribes. But with, in order to like kind of combine all those belief systems that they had into one that a modern day would kind of understand, that's what they're called, Salts.
What was it again? The word.
Celts.
Celts.
So like Celtics. Celts. Okay. So they would celebrate the festival of Samhain. Hope I said that right.
Samhain?
Samhain.
Samhain.
Okay. Samhain. It's spelled Samhain, but it's actually pronounced like Samhain.
Oh, nice.
Look, I'm glad I looked that up.
Yeah.
And this actually marked the end of their year.
Oh.
So instead of like December 31st being the end of the year, this would be the end of their year.
Oh.
And their new year would start November 1st.
Oh, shit.
The reason that they did this, because that marked the end of the summer and the harvesting season and the beginning of the dark, cold winter time of a year, which was often for them associated with death among humans, mostly due to the fact that they didn't have resources like we have today.
Freezing to death, starving to death.
That's just it. Yep. So on the night before the beginning of their new year, October 31st, Celts believed that the veil or boundary between the living and dead was the thinnest or weakest. It was on this night that they celebrated Samhain. It was believed that due to this veil being weak, that the dead spirits or ghosts could cross over that boundary and back into the living.
Oh, wow.
So that's, you know, I knew that part. Like, I knew that the veil between the living and dead was thinnest at whatever time, but I didn't know where it came from or how it became trick-or-treating.
Right? I like the whole, that's when the year ended, mm-hmm. which makes fucking sense, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When it started to, like, become, and it kind of went from, like, where stuff was living into, like, dead. So that makes sense. That right then would be that veil between living and dead.
Yeah. Okay.
So, and they tried to finish up all their harvesting before Samhain due to the fear of the spirits and ghosts causing trouble and damaging crops.
Right. I wonder how many experiences they had to where they thought that. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Something had to have happened. Some, like, paranormal shit had to have been going on for them to think that. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So the Celts also thought that the presence of otherworldly spirits made it easier for the druids or the Celtic priest to make predictions about the future. So basically, like, we've got like the farmer's almanac type of a thing. I'm guessing it's kind of like that, predicting that type of stuff. And because it says for people who were dependent on the natural world to survive, these prophecies were an important source of comfort during the long, dark winter. Because like it gave them something, okay, this is what we, if we make it through this, then it's going to be like this type of thing.
I gotcha.
And then to commemorate the event, the druids, so the Celtic priest, built huge sacred bonfires, and the people gathered around it to burn crops and animals as sacrifices to the Celtic deities. I don't know which deities, because I don't know what all of them are for the Celts. Probably quite a few. I know there's quite a few for pagan stuff.
Right.
I mean the name. During the celebration, the Celts wore costumes, typically consisting of animal heads and skins, and attempted to tell each other's fortunes. So this is the beginning, kind of the costume wearing.
See, I always thought that the masks and, like, the costumes were so that, like, spirits couldn't identify you.
We get to that.
Okay.
Yep, I think that comes later on when stuff starts to kind of, like, change.
Okay.
So, during this whole bonfires and stuff, they had gone into like all their like huts or houses and extinguished like their own fires, and at the end of the celebration they would actually relight those fires using the fire from the bonfire.
So does that fire stay going all night or something?
I mean, it's a little celebration's done, and then once all their fires are lit, like, they use that because it's a sacred bonfire and it's to help protect them during the winter time.
Okay.
That's why they would extinguish theirs and get the fire from the bonfire, light their fire.
That's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. So by 43 AD, which is after death, in case anybody wants to know, it's after death of Jesus.
Okay, thank you.
Yes. You got BC and AD.
Before Christ and after Christ?
Oh, after death.
After death, Whitey.
Yeah.
Instead of just saying after Christ, they say after death. Mm. Okay.
ACBC? Maybe it sounds too much like ACDC?
Probably. But they didn't have AC.
I don't know.
Okay, go
yeah.
on.
So by 40, basically, just the year 43, so we're in 2021
now.
Uh-huh. So in the year 43, a while ago.
Wow.
The Roman Empire had conquered the majority of the Celtic territory. In the course of 400 years that they ruled the Celtic lands, two festivals of Roman origin were combined with the traditional Celtic celebration of Samhain. So this is the first starting, like, combining of things.
So does that mean, like, Greek had their own, or like the Greeks?
The Romans, yeah.
The Romans had their own version of this?
Well, they have some. So the first one they combined with it was Feralia, which was a day in late October when the Romans commemorated the passing of the dead. The second was a day to honor Pomona, the Roman goddess of fruit and trees. Pomona's symbol is the apple, and in addition, and the addition of this celebration into Samhain probably explains the tradition of bobbing for apples.
Oh, okay.
So that's where that came from.
Okay, okay.
I always kind of wondered that too. I'm like, how did we decide, like, on Halloween, we're going to stick our heads in a bucket of water and try to grab an apple with our mouth?
Right.
Seems like a ridiculous idea. It's cold out.
Right. And it's the fruit of knowledge. It's said to have a shit ton of powers inside of it, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, go on.
So those are the two Roman celebrations that they combined with this Celtic celebration after they had taken over, like, those lands or whatever. Okay. So then we skip up ahead to 609 AD. So another 600, a little less than 600 years.
Fast forward
600 years. Yeah. Now we have Pope Boniface. I forgot to look up what this means. I don't know what IV is in Roman numerals.
IV is like...
4 or 6.
IV. I think it's 6.
Okay.
Because the V is a 5.
Yeah. That's why I didn't know if it was 5 or 6. I was going to look that up because obviously I don't know Roman numerals. So it's either... Oh.
Well, you look at that, Frankie.
It is 6. Okay, it's 6. So, Pope Boniface 6. You can tell we're not edited. Thank God my parents have a grandfather clock. He dedicated the Pantheon in Rome during that year in honor of all Christian martyrs, and the Catholic Feast of All Martyrs Day was established. Pope Gregory III later expanded the festival then to include all saints as well as all martyrs and moved that observance day from May 13th to November 1st. So keep that in mind. That plays into all this thing. Okay. By the 9th century, so into the 900s, the influence of Christianity had spread into Celtic lands, where it gradually blended with and eradicated.
Go figure.
Old Celtic rites. Sort of eradicated. They more...
dominated?
Appropriated them. Remember when we had that discussion about appropriation? We'll get to that, but that's basically what happens here.
Oh, shit.
So in 1000 AD, the church made November 2nd All Souls Day, a day to honor the dead. It's widely believed today that the church was attempting to replace the Celtic festival of the dead with a related church-sanctioned holiday. Huh. Sorry, but that's where that comes in.
That is just so weird.
That's one of I don't like that because I don't think anything should take over anything. If it was reversed, I don't think that the Celts would be right.
You know, and here's the thing. You came in and you didn't like them, obviously. You wanted their land. You brushed them out, and then you want to, and this is where the whole...
It's like you want their, like, celebration, but you don't want it exactly like they had it, so you have to change it to fit your beliefs.
Exactly.
Instead of just having your own.
Right, and then not only that, you're too proud to be like, we like what you have and we'd like to adopt it. We're going to just change everything much that it doesn't even look.
A little bit.
You know what I mean? I don't understand it.
And like I said, and I'm not bashing Christianity because, like I said, if it was the other way around, I would be doing the same thing with the salt.
Right.
Like,
and
it's
what's done is done.
Yeah.
But that whole concept is just...
And I think that a lot of people, they don't want to hear that.
No. And it's not like, so what if you love Jesus and you go to church?
Yeah.
That's your, everybody has ugly history.
Like,
in
that's
religion,
cool, but like, you, family. There's no harm in, like, saying, okay, well, this is where this ritual came from.
Exactly. You don't have to be all butthurt and get offended and feel like you're on the attack or like somebody's attacking
you.
Yeah,
it's not even attacking
you. It's just truth.
It's informing.
Yeah.
It's just giving you information.
Everybody's always got to get so angry about the truth.
Okay, so then, mind you, we're talking about All Souls Day now. So All Souls Day was celebrated similarly to Samhain. I knew I should have put pronunciation down there. Samhain. With big bonfires, parades, and dressing up in costumes as saints, angels, and devils now.
Then
I think they changed it to, like, it went from, like, crap. Hold on. I gotta go back.
Okay.
November 2nd was All Souls Day. And so then they had something called All Saints Day celebration, which was also called All Hallows or All Hallowmas. From a Middle English word meaning All Saints Day. The night before.
Oh.
Sorry, hold on. Reverse. All Souls Day was November 2nd. All Saints Day was November 1st. And the night before it, the traditional night of Samhain, began to be called All Hallows Eve.
Yeah.
And eventually became Halloween.
The one thing that I like that they're now not running around with animal heads on them.
Yeah, like putting animals in fires and stuff.
Yeah, the
sacrifice.
I don't understand. I just don't. I've never understood that. And I'd like to know, like, what is the whole purpose of
it?
It's
a sacrifice of the gods to protect you. It's just like,
but why would they?
They
clearly don't eat what you eat.
I know. It's just like a belief system. Brian would know.
I feel, you know what it is? I think when you're going to give sacrifice or to praise or something, you give of what you have. Mm-hmm. And this is all you have. And we're willing to give you the last of it.
And that's why they burn some of their harvest too.
Stuff. Okay, I got you.
You won't see anybody doing it now necessarily that way, obviously.
But they would give, so you give something precious up, don't you? Something to let you know, thank you.
Without giving too much. There are certain things that certain people I know will put out food to sacrifice for the gods.
Yeah.
And that's their sacrifice.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean they gotta go out and kill a goat and something.
Right. As I said that, it all
You're like me, like before I ask a question, I answer it before it comes out of my mouth all the way.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, here we go.
That's kind of funny, right? It's like I just answered my own question.
Uh-huh. Ooh, I'm hungry.
So
sorry, it's food and meat and yumminess.
So anyway, basically, so then pagan traditions were adopted into the holiday honoring Catholic saints. Mm-hmm. Let's skip ahead here a little bit.
Both my dad and my grandpa were born on Saint Sebastian's Day.
What was that?
Saint Sebastian. I don't know. I looked it up, but I can't remember what it is right now. And my great-grandfather, okay, so in the Hungarian tradition, if you're born on a saint's day, you take their name. So my great-grandpa was Grandpa Valentine. And then my grandpa was Sebastian, and he was born on Saint Sebastian's Day. Yeah, so anyways, that's how that one went. It's kind of cool.
Interesting.
Oh, I know that's what it is. So yeah, but I don't know why my dad didn't get the Sebastian name.
Yeah, maybe they stopped using it.
Yeah, you know, because we came to the new world.
Who knows? Okay, so we're going to go back to, we're going to keep talking kind of about how stuff has been adapted into the stuff, right? Because I forgot this whole other part down here because I hadn't scrolled far enough down.
Okay.
But, because it was saying how the importance of pre-Christian customs in people's lives wasn't lost upon the early, basically, Catholic Church because they're popes.
Right.
And so Pope Gregory, basically the first, so this was before the other ones, who headed the church from 590 AD to 604 AD, advised a missionary going to England that instead of trying to do away with the religious customs of non-Christian people, they should simply convert them to a Christian religious purpose.
So compromise is what that was.
Yeah. So for example, the site of a pagan temple could be converted to become a Christian church. He literally told his missionaries to do this. He literally said, well, oh, don't get rid of it. Just make it a Christian-based thing.
So I feel like it had the good intent, let's compromise, except for you don't compromise on somebody else's fucking land.
No, not when you take it and make it your own name.
Then you have these fucking Neanderthal people running around who like to fight. Did you really think they were really going to compromise or have them compromise? No, they were going to kill them.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's just what they did.
Most of them, yeah. So okay. In that fashion, that's when Samhain, the Celts' dark supernatural festival, became converted to a Christian context.
Huh. Okay, so, but most Christians, some hardcore Christians that I've known, my friends' parents, they don't like Halloween.
They don't
participating in it, but obviously the church tried to do something with it.
Well, but I think from where this started, then it starts changing more.
So it was bad, then it was good.
Well, no, I just mean they took it and changed it to this Christian connotation. Well, eventually we're going to wind up a trick-or-treating. So
okay,
we're getting there.
Sorry I keep on interrupting you. This is a good topic.
Yeah, I'll try. I gotta figure out where it was. All Hallows Eve. Because, so they went to All Saints Day because that's all, for Supernatural, for the Christians, it was saints and martyrs.
Ah.
So that's why All Saints Day came about. And instead of Samhain, it became All Hallows Eve.
I just like that when people say All Hallows Eve. It sounds rich with culture. And
I know. And I knew that All Hallows Eve became Halloween eventually. I'm not sure how it morphed into that necessarily for the name, but that's what it became. So one of the rituals adopted from the Celts was pumpkin carving, which for them held religious significance. The jack-o'-lantern custom consists of placing fire, which imitates the good magic of the sun, inside a hollowed-out vegetable representing the harvest. And this is the historian Soupy says, it was done in hopes that the good magic will help to preserve the harvested food through the dark half of the year until the next growing season could replenish the community's food stocks. So that's where that those were the original. Yeah, they didn't necessarily have faces on them at that time, but they were hollowed out pumpkins. Later in Ireland and Scotland, people developed the custom of using similarly carved vegetable lanterns to scare off the mythical creature of Stingy Jack, who wandered the earth because the devil wouldn't let him into hell.
Oh, he was that bad?
Apparently.
Oh, fuck.
So that's where starting to make it a lantern comes into play. Because before it was a hollowed out pumpkin, now they're starting to like hollow out a little bit, so they're lanterns. So the practice of trick-or-treating, too, also originates in the Celtic custom of giving token bits of the harvest to spirits wandering outside of houses on the evening of Samhain to placate them and prevent them from doing destructive things to harvest or to homes.
Oh, well, that makes sense. And that's kind of like, they were kind of already doing that just in a larger scale, but to a god.
Yeah.
Right? So it's still almost
This was still like the Celtic. So they would do both. They would do like a bigger sacrifice, and then they would do littler ones outside their homes.
Still trying to keep their stuff for them.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So that's where that sort of trick-or-treating, but only it was not giving things to other people. It was to the spirits and the deities or whatever else. Once Christianity became established in the Celtic regions, young unmarried men would parade around on Halloween, going to houses and calling for gifts for the spirits or saints.
Oh, so come give me this and I'll put it in a bigger plate, like an offering of sorts?
I don't know. It doesn't really say. It's just...
Say it again.
It's young unmarried men would parade around on Halloween, going to houses and calling for gifts to the spirits. This was a time when the hard work of the harvest was done, so they could indulge in some pranks to let off steam. In Scotland, the groups of young men were called, it's spelled G-U-I-S-E-R-S, but it's pronounced geezers.
Okay.
Because they wore disguises, the beginning of the costume of, like another beginning of the custom of wearing Halloween costumes.
Okay.
So that's where that kind of started. And then, when Halloween customs were then brought to the United States by immigrants from those countries and other homelands like Celtics, then Halloween started to become when witches, evil spirits, and all mischief brewing sprites went forth on dark and mysterious midnight revels.
Oh, so that's basically us being afraid. Like, if you think about, like, I want to say condensation, but that's not the word I'm looking for. The whole thing about where things come from, it was us being scared of other people bringing different to
sort of,
you know, so we were like, oh, that's this and that's a witch and that's, you know, the different
and they're bringing stuff. It and it kind of changes because the celebration of Halloween at first was extremely limited over here in the United States and in colonial New England because of the rigid Protestant belief systems. It was much more common in Maryland and those other southern colonies.
Right.
So while, when it started coming over, like there were some of them that was like, meh, and some of them that were a little more
like Salem was like anti that shit. Cause
do you know it's not even called Salem anymore because of that?
Are you serious?
Yeah, it has a different name to it.
What is it?
I have to look it up, but I know because I remember listening to a case and them saying that it actually used to be Salem, but they changed the name of the town because of
getting too much attraction
and or just the bad juju.
Oh, wow.
Type of a thing.
Nice going there, America.
Well, we're good
nice
at that.
Nice going there.
As the beliefs and customs of these different European ethnic
I love America,
groups,
though, by the way. I just didn't want anybody to be like, oh, she's anti-America. Fucking, I love my country. Okay, go on.
So as these beliefs and customs of these different European ethnic groups and the American Native Americans, I'm going to be politically correct, it says something else in here, but anyway, meshed, a distinctly American version of Halloween began to emerge. So now we're Americanizing it a little more like we're good at.
More for us to understand, because...
Well, you know, well, it's a big melting pot. Like, we're trying to put a whole bunch of things together. So the first celebrations included play parties, which were public events to celebrate the harvest. Neighbors would share stories about the dead, tell each other's fortunes, dance, and sing. So we still got a little bit of that Celtic stuff coming in there. Colonial Halloween festivities also featured the telling of ghost stories and mischief making of all kinds. So then, you know, we had started having like the annual fall festivities, but Halloween was not yet celebrated everywhere in the country yet. And this is like middle of the 19th century.
Right. How beautiful the concept is. I feel like the more I'm reading this, it really is people trying to compromise, trying to understand their neighbor mm-hmm. in a loving way. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And trying to say, hey, this is me and this is who I am. And another saying, this is me and this is who I am. It's a beautiful
and
concept.
Combining it together.
Yeah, but human beings, we like war. We like to fight. You know,
we want what somebody else has and we're going to take it.
Exactly. And what a beautiful idea America could have been. And like,
that still is a beautiful idea. I don't know. Because like because during this time, they combined stuff with Native Americans.
Right.
So the Native Americans' beliefs were, you know, they meshed together.
So I don't think it was any one culture at this point right here. Anybody saying mine is better.
Yeah.
It was us trying to figure out a compromise.
And you have to remember, too, that the middle of the 19th century was 1800s. I mean, that's 800 years later from when they first originally changed it to All Hallows Eve.
Yeah.
So by that point, nobody's going to remember exactly where it came from. They're just going to remember what they were told.
Yeah.
Nobody knew the whole history.
Yeah.
So in the second half of the 19th century, America got another wave of immigrants coming in. And these new immigrants, especially the millions of Irish fleeing the potato famine.
I fucking love Irish.
They helped to popularize the celebration of Halloween nationally. Because remember, Ireland was one of the areas that had all the Celts.
Where it came.
Mm-hmm. So borrowing from European traditions, Americans began to dress up in costumes and go house to house asking for food or money. That's a practice that eventually became the trick-or-treating.
Oh, wow.
Young women believed that on Halloween, they could, conjure up the name or appearance of their future husband by doing tricks with yarn, apple parings, or mirrors.
See, the apple parings, I know, like, if you skin the apple and you
put it in
the water.
It's supposed to, like, look like the face of, like...
No, the first letter of the person is, it takes the form of a letter.
Yeah, so they would do that type of stuff with yarn and to try to get, like, a picture of their future husband. I don't know how I'm done with yarn or whatever. Well, that's what that was. So in the late 1800s... there was a move in America to mold Halloween into a holiday more about community and neighborly get-togethers than about ghost pranks and witchcraft.
Which they had already, I think, been doing themselves.
They had been a little bit, but they still, like, they were still doing, like, kind of the witchcraft with, like, trying to conjure up names and letters and, like, that type of a stuff.
But that was, like, a community thing. I think.
Well,
they
kind of did that by themselves.
Yeah, but
the young women did. They were starting to get the community, but they still had, like, the witchcraft thing.
And stuff.
And we didn't want that anymore, apparently.
Oh no, and we needed to tax it too. We needed to make it about us and money. So of course.
So like I said, they decided to make it more about community and less about ghosts. Because like they didn't want to acknowledge the fact that there might be a time of the year when ghosts and spirits and whatever, and then they associate stuff with witchcraft.
Right.
Yada yada. So at the turn of the century, Halloween parties for both children and adults became the most common way to celebrate. Parties focused on games, foods, and seasonal activities as opposed to, like, you know, burning things. Parents were encouraged by newspapers and community leaders to take anything frightening, quote, or grotesque, quote unquote, out of Halloween celebrations. Because of these efforts, Halloween lost most of its superstitious and religious overtones by the beginning of the 20th century, so the beginning of the 1900s. So, like, they got, like, the animal heads on whatever and things like they started like that's when that stuff started kind of getting phased out. So by the 1920s and 1930s, Halloween had become a secular but community centered holiday with parades and Halloween parties as featured entertainment. But despite the best efforts of schools, communities, vandalism still plagued some celebrations. in many communities.
Because we're human and we like to destroy things.
But here's the thing. It's just like, okay, when this first started with Samhain, they weren't destroying anything.
No, they weren't.
Like, okay, grotesque, maybe like nobody destroyed anything because they were just doing it to placate the spirits that might cross over. By the 1950s, town leaders had successfully limited vandalism, and Halloween had evolved into a holiday directed mainly at the young, which we see today. Due to the high numbers of young children during the 50s baby boom, makes sense, parties moved from, like, large civic centers into classrooms.
Oh.
And homes, where they would be more easily accommodated. So between the 1920s and 1950s, that trick-or-treating practice was also kind of revived. Like, it went from, like, big community stuff back to, like, the trick-or-treating stuff. It was a relatively inexpensive way for an entire community to share the Halloween celebration. In theory, families could also prevent tricks being played on them by providing the neighborhood children with small treats and bribing them.
Oh, okay.
I mean, we're going to bribe you with these treats so you don't throw eggs at our house or smash our pumpkins or whatever else. Thus, a new American tradition was born, and it has continued to grow. Today, Americans spend an estimated $6 billion annually on Halloween, making it the country's second largest commercial holiday after Christmas. Which makes sense.
Wow.
And that also is the same with Halloween movies.
Oh.
I mean, you've got a ton of different movies that are all based on Halloween.
I just feel like vomiting.
Why?
Because, here we go.
Oh, God.
Yeah, here we go.
Are you gonna take my, like, calm episode and turn it into, like, a...
It's a possibility. I don't know. All right, so dulling our senses, right? Disconnecting us from nature and from things that we should feel. Like, this was a holiday meant to respect the other side. Do you know what I'm saying? And over the years, our government... in its smallest form, took that away. You
kind
know
of, I mean? Yes, because they tried to get rid of grotesque things.
Right, and we're not, it's because of fear, because nobody likes death, nobody wants to think about death, and so if we're doing a whole entire holiday commemorating death and all that it brings, well, that can't happen. That's a no-go. So, like, as you're talking and I'm hearing the progression, that's kind of where it starts when our natural instincts start getting taken away because of other people's fear, and we've lost
and
that
it's,
connection.
It's more of like
fear-based fucking insanity.
It is, in a way, because we went from respecting spirits and giving them sacrifices in order to prevent them from causing mischief. We grew to fear them, but that was more due to, I think, when the church came in.
Yeah.
So, like, that's where it started. The church came in and changed it to where did seem like a scary thing, which led
to church was government.
I know, which led to everything else. Our country was founded on religion,
right?
Even though it shouldn't have been, because they were supposed to come here for freedom of religion.
And how about just kicking your fucking kids' ass? Like, I'm not
for whoa, how did that
children.
Come into Halloween?
Well, we're bribing the kids with some candy so they won't egg our houses. How about you fucking, like, sit down and, you know what I'm saying? So here goes a spoiled fucking country. You give me what I want so we won't destroy what you have. Because at that point, well, you know what I'm saying? So I'm just
I understand that, but I don't think a lot. I don't see a lot of, like, houses, like, getting egged just because they didn't have Halloween trees anymore.
Not anymore, but back in the day, obviously.
Well, yeah, back in the day, that's where it started from. Like, but and now it's just turned into handing out candy.
Right? Now, those kids probably wouldn't have been acting that way if, like, we kept history and our traditions and it was explained properly. Like, they're going around, guys are going around getting gifts.
Mm-hmm.
They're not destroying shit, you know? But it turns into pranks.
It turns into different things.
So
yeah.
I got to see.
It's like the progression of it.
Right.
I was going to take, remember, I was going to take you from whoop, down to here.
Yeah.
So here's some other things about Halloween, like black cats and ghosts.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Back then, when it was Samhain, it was spirits and different things like that, that were in their mind's eye. Now, today's Halloween ghosts are often depicted as more fearsome and malevolent. Malevolent?
Yeah.
And more fearsome. And the customs and superstitions are scarier, too, like we were just saying. They became fearful. We avoid crossing paths with black cats, afraid they might bring us bad luck. And that idea is rooted in the Middle Ages. because that's when witches were supposedly around.
Of course you're fearful because you took away their sacrifices and you're completely disrespectful on a whole entire thing that was supposed to mean respect.
Yeah.
You know, and I'd be pissed off and be like, ooh, I'd make them scarier than they were because they're going to come get your ass because you was a fucking asshole.
Well, it's because we weren't really ever taught, though.
No, we didn't care origins. To. You know what I mean?
At but as small children, like, we just took Halloween as it was at face value. We didn't look into, like, where did this come from?
No. That's our parents' job to be doing that.
Well, I haven't done it.
You know what the fuck I mean, you asshole. From the beginning.
There's a lot of stuff that they don't teach
children. Because I don't teach that stuff to my children because I wasn't taught. And so on.
That's what I mean.
You know what I mean?
So then we've gotten to the point where we're at today.
We just don't care. So I
don't know if we wouldn't. I mean, it's not that I don't care.
Not you.
But I've never looked into it. I didn't look into it till now.
Right? There's some people that care, but there's others that just don't. Because
there are.
They're dead. Their sensories, their compassion, their fucking. What is that called? Their instincts, their just being one with is gone.
Closed-minded.
Closed-minded is what those sons of bitches are.
Here are some of the other, like, forgotten about or lesser known rituals. And these are kind of like the ones like the helping young women identify their future husbands. Right. And that would reassure them that by the next Halloween, they'd be married.
And usually they were, because that's just how it went back then.
Mm-hmm. In Scotland, fortune tellers recommended that an eligible young woman name a hazelnut for each of her suitors and then toss the nuts into a fire.
Ooh.
The nut that burned to ashes, rather than popping or exploding, represented the girl's future husband. I'm not sure how you remember what nut's what, but...
Right, and if everybody... Yeah, that okay.
So there's that one.
Well, there is. They didn't have a whole lot of names going on. They were all kind of named the same.
I mean, I guess you'd have to, like, you'd have to name them and then, like, pay attention to where you threw it into the fire. And whichever one didn't pop and just burn down, then that's the one. Another tale had it that if a young woman ate something sugary, like made out of walnuts, hazelnuts, and nutmeg before going to bed on Halloween night, she would dream about her future husband.
Ooh.
They would toss apple peels over their shoulders, hoping the peels would fall on the floor in the shape of their future husband's initials.
Oh, see?
That's that one, yep.
Water to throwing. We're doing some of this
stuff. So, like, some of this stuff is, like, this is where, like, stuff that, but this is forgotten stuff, because they thought it was witchcrafty, and so they did away with it.
I think we should do some of this stuff. Like, it wouldn't be hard to do an apple over the shoulder.
No. Or looking in egg yolks.
What about looking in those?
It says they tried to learn about their futures by peering at egg yolks floating in a bowl of water and stood in front of mirrors in dark rooms holding candles and looking over their shoulders for their husband's faces. I'm sorry, that's where that fear comes in. Nowadays, if we were looking in a mirror with a candle and somebody's face appeared over our shoulder, we'd freak out.
Yeah, we would.
And they were looking for it. They wanted it to appear.
Right. So I want to know, what does an egg do?
I don't know. That one was just, I don't know.
Right, I'm going to go look that up sometime.
But either way, like, and the thing is, here's the thing. Like, the mirrors back then, they weren't that great.
No.
So if they did see someone over their shoulder, it's probably their own reflection.
Oh, yeah.
Which is good. I mean, that's fine because really who we find attractive physically is part of what we see in ourselves.
Yeah.
We are attracted to similarities.
Exactly.
So that would make sense.
You know, when people say people are self-centered and this, that, and we're all self-centered. We're all self-seeking. So shut the fuck up. Go on. There's a whole thing with that, but I'm not going to spiel about that right now. I got time.
Other rituals were more competitive. At some parties, the first guest to find a burr, which are like the stickery, the big ones that are brown.
Like this bigger version of the ones that you have
yeah.
in grass.
Yeah, they're not even, they just kind of stick to your pant legs. Like, they don't hurt necessarily. But the first one to find one of those on a chestnut hunt would be the first to marry. At others, the first successful apple bobber would be the first on the aisle. Did you notice how all these are about women trying to find their husbands and not the other way around?
Right.
Apparently.
Right.
Maybe that's what I went wrong.
Right.
I haven't done any of these.
None of them. I thought the man was supposed to seek out the woman.
You know, hold on, let me finish and then we'll talk about that. Of course, whether they're asking for romantic advice or trying to avoid 7 years of bad luck, each of these Halloween superstitions relies on the goodwill of the very same spirit whose presence the early Celts felt so keenly.
Uh-huh. And I feel like they ain't got your back now because you done said, fuck you.
Well, I mean, they might have back then, but now we're not throwing apple pump peels over our shoulders or, like, looking in the mirrors with egg yolk.
And really, I mean, all you could think about, especially for women, was getting married.
Because and that's what I was going to say, because, like men, they didn't have to really worry about it. Like, if they
were bachelor their whole lives, I mean, it is what it is. But for females back then,
who age out of your house. If you got to a
certain age.
Right.
And that was at, like, age 25 back then, I swear. Right.
And you aged out. Your family can't afford to feed another mouth. It was like, you need to get married and, like, do that's this shit quick. Yeah. I'm glad we don't live in those kind of days.
Because, like I said, you become an old man.
If you're an old maid, then you must be a witch with all the cats.
And... Well, that too, because then you got a bunch of cats.
Ooh, women have had it hard. I'm just fucking saying.
Huh. So, that right there, that's the origin of
it. Nice. I think I'm about to get with your boyfriend on this whole, like, sacrifice.
You're gonna get what?
Oh, no. Like, and learn a little bit more about paying respect to, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because I was asking him. Like, it's a, it starts with an S, and he's like, so I'm like, yes.
You're like, that's it
I'm
right
like,
there.
I knew you would know it.
Right, because, I mean, all of our holidays come from
or
something.
At least the rituals.
The
like
rituals.
What we do, like Christmas. They didn't have pine decorations.
No.
Like,
but it comes from a spiritual, a place of the sacrifices. There's some truth behind all of it.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't forget that shit.
No, but like I said, like, as a small child, we just take it at face value. Yeah. And then we don't really think about it until we get older now. And then we start thinking, like, yeah. Where did this tradition come from? This has nothing to do with what I've read about in the Bible or what I've been taught in church.
Right.
So where exactly did... Why are we celebrating this religious holiday with this tree? That makes no sense.
No, it doesn't. You know, I think a lot of America's problem is, once again, I'd like to say I love my country. I'm glad to be an American. But we're just lost because, as a whole, America does not have traditions. We have what we've taken from other people,
yeah,
and we've made it our own.
It.
Yeah, but we don't have any, like, solid fucking roots. And we've forgotten about the parts of us. That's why I think it's really important to know who you are and where you come from, to have roots, because roots makes you want to stay. And root, I don't know, maybe that's not the word I'm thinking of. I feel like roots make you, I don't fucking know,
yeah,
but if you know who you are, and when you don't have a sense of who you are and you have no tradition, you're just a fucking lost hipster. So America's a lost hipster.
I mean, the biggest thing there is there's so many different, by this point,
yeah,
different nationalities, whatever that goes into each person. Like, there is no.
And we didn't
country.
Keep, yeah,
there's
and we
no
didn't keep any of it.
Anymore.
No, but we didn't keep anything. And I understand that, but we still, our ancestors or
yeah.
whatever, could have kept a little,
they
you
could
know,
have,
but we didn't.
And I, you know, and I'm sure they tried, but it's so easy to mesh with other cultures.
And we get lost.
They get mixed and the solid original tradition changed into something else.
Exactly.
But most of us don't know what our actual.
Nope.
Upbringings are. I mean,
nope.
It's just now that they're doing the DNA testing to even show you that.
Right. And most people have lost, I feel like, have lost that instinct or that need to want to know. You know, like, there's this something that's calling me to know things, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's important. But
okay.
We're so dulled by all this forgetting and this is and that's and who's it's and what's it's. And when a person is lost, when you don't know, when you don't have a sense of who you are or where you come from, I feel like it does something to a person. I'm not saying it causes all the war and all of
yeah.
blah, 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 blah.
I don't know.
But,
because, like, I don't know where I come from. I don't know if I'm a lost person, but I like learning about this stuff. You know,
right.
I like having that knowledge of where something
comes from. Right.
And why it is the way it is.
But you're curious.
Well,
you're curious
yes.
about it, you know?
I'm a floating... Ooh.
I hope you did. I
is.
Didn't say anything to offend you, did
no.
I?
No.
Okay.
I'm just
but
saying,
I just mean as
like,
a whole.
And I'm just.
Yeah.
Thing, like, if you don't know where you came from, like, awesome.
No. Not really.
As long as you're open to other beliefs, especially when it's rooted in fact.
Right.
Like, this is what happened. This is what happened.
Right.
There's nothing made up about it. It's.
right? And you always go to facts, and facts show that it all comes from one place. Because I used to be like, when somebody would send me something on Facebook that was like really spiritual, I'd be like, blah, 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 you know, like all offended about it. And somebody was like, why are you offended? They're just sharing their happiness with you, for one. And two, like, they're not trying to convert you to fucking shit. Just like, be happy with them and respect what they got going on, because you want the same.
I am not a religious person. I'm not religious. But I respect those that are religious, as long as they are not showing my face.
Right.
And as long as, if I can have a conversation with them and have them be open-minded, I'm open-minded too. But it's the ones that just shut you down.
Yeah. I didn't know the difference between excitement and shutting you down. It took me, I've yelled at quite a few people for no reason at all. They're like, whoa. And I was like, my bad. All right. So, yeah.
I was scared to death of whoever,
no matter, I'm just this fucking craziness.
Yeah.
I'm the most unterrifying person ever. And you get to know shut the fuck up. So that was, it was lovely doing this. Thank you for informing me.
Yeah. Now I got to think of something. Hold on, one more.
This is fucking, so if you guys have any ideas,
pass them this
what is
way.
It called? PM her or DM her? Do
DM
that fancy
email
shit.
Or something.
Yeah.
And a Halloween, I mean, I don't know. I'd say give me a Halloween murder, but I've already looked at those.
Right. Then you can email us at nocturnaldistractions@gmail.com. And when you go to the bottom of the show notes, there'll be a link to all the other links to the Instagram and Twitter stuff. And all that fun stuff. So you can do that.
Yeah. Join our Facebook group.
Yes.
You can message us on there too.
Yeah.
So
we're just, oh, na.
And just a reminder to go listen to Cryptic Soup.
Yes, please do that.
They are fantastic. They just celebrated their 1 year anniversary of podcasting.
Did you remember her name?
Kylie.
Kylie, booyah.
I think. Oh my god.
Now she has to go look.
I should look. So
oh
know
my
for
god!
Sure.
So it
I
makes you feel
thinking about it when I was like,
"What did
this?
The New Zealand chick?
Her name's Lisa.
No. What did she call us? Kendall?
How was it? Kendrell?
Kendrell. She
it.
Put our.
I can't
she,
even say it out.
She like, locked our names together, which was really cool. I think that's how come you messed it up, right?
Well,
like we
I
had just watched
I wasn't
that before.
Thinking about it, and I'm like,
subconsciously, obviously was. But I don't know. That was kind of cool. I liked it. The Kendall or Kite. Oh, I don't know what she said, but I thought it was cool. And we're pausing. Sorry. I had nothing else to say after that one. I haven't blown my nose yet. I feel stuffy. I'm going to just talk about my boogers. You know what kind of boogers I hate? And they're not even boogers, right? When you're cold, when it's freezing outside, and like your nose hairs are almost frozen, and it feels like you got boogers in your nose, and you really don't. That shit annoys me
right now.
I know it's not. This is stuffy nose boogers, not cold boogers that aren't boogers.
I was right. It was Kylie.
Nice. Good job.
You know, Kylie, please don't tell me. I did know her name. I was second guessing myself because I got nervous.
And because you had been talking about it for so much. You know when you talk about something so much you forget
and,
about
and
it?
And the problem is like Athena's once always on social media. Like I always went on social media. So like I haven't talked to Kylie. Oh. So unless other than the beginning of their episodes where they introduce themselves, I don't hear her name.
As often. So
it's Athena and Kylie.
And go and listen to
go
them.
Go and listen to them. And
they're awesome.
April's talking about crimes.
Crimes. Marianne. Yes, she's beautiful. And I'm going to listen.
She has dogs and stuff too. And
the microphone went over here. So hopefully you guys could hear me.
Well, it's also able to hear you.
Muffled upness.
Right.
Well, I love you guys.
Send us some messages. If you want these stickers, too. Give us your address.
Yeah.
We won't stop you.
Or a P.O. box. Whatever works best for you.
I think we're still sitting at 36 states.
Nice.
Well, some of you need to jump on that wagon.
But
we
I
do. Here's
the
thing, though. Huh. North Dakota, apparently. A lot of people have a hard time getting North Dakota to tune in. We've had North Dakota for a while.
Really?
I'm like, what's wrong with all you people? North Dakota's been following us for a while.
Huh.
In Oklahoma and stuff. There's a couple of them out there. Like they've got like three states, and one of them's like North Dakota. And I'm like, you guys have I don't know.
Maybe.
We've had North Dakota for a while.
Well, I think you North Dakota.
Yeah, you guys rock.
All right. I love you guys. Thank you, Kendra.
Bye.